Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So Steve Dale is in our WGN Radio studios. Not to talk about pets, though. I want to read the first two sentences of a story from, I think this is Associated Press. It is Dateline New York. American journalist Danny Fenster, who was freed after nearly 6 months in jail in military-ruled Myanmar, arrived Tuesday in the United States for an emotional reunion with his family. His family, by the way, includes a brother, Brian, who we'll hear from in a minute, went to school at Columbia College here in Chicago. This is a Midwest family. Michigan, I think, is where they have their roots. Fenster, again, the brother who was in Myanmar, Danny Fenster, was sentenced last week to 11 years of hard labor, but was handed over Monday to former U.S. diplomat Bill Richardson, who helped negotiate the release. He is one of more than 100 journalists, media officials, or publishers who have been detained since the military ousted the elected government of Nobel laureate Aung San Suu Kyi in February. This is another one of those stories of where the government in some countries decides that journalists are a threat. And if they don't cut their heads off or shoot them in the back, they'll detain them for sometimes years on end, and often for almost always on trumped up charges. And so here's this Danny Fenster guy, who you and I didn't know anything about, is suddenly what happened?
He was there about to come home to celebrate a family birthday, a family reunion. Grandma, who we'll hear more about, her story's interesting in another way. Well into her, I believe, her 90s, just to see family, because he hadn't in so long. He goes through security at the airport like we all go
in
through.
In Myanmar, trying to come back to the Midwest.
Absolutely, to Detroit specifically. Goes through security, is about to board the airplane, literally stepping on to the airplane when authorities said, you can't do that. In fact, we're putting you in jail. And when asked for what charges? Well, it took months for the government there to figure out what the charges even were.
Where'd they put him when they took him off the plane?
Insane prison. That's the name of the prison. It doesn't sound like a happy place. And in fact, COVID vaccines are not common there, apparently. Testing for COVID doesn't happen. And guess what? I believe, and we'll hear in a moment, on top of everything else, the poor guy came down with COVID.
What was the charge? So ostensibly, why did they arrest him?
I cannot say, because I don't know that there's an answer to that question. Here he is. He's not a reporter. He is not reporting on. Let me back up one step and explain why I feel so passionately about this. If we did not hear from journalists all over the world in places we love, like the UK, in places we may not love so much anymore, like China, we wouldn't know anything about what's going on in these countries. So we need these journalists to do their job. They serve us in America, but they serve the world as well. He, in particular, wasn't reporting on anything, as far as I know, nothing controversial per se. He's an editor. It made no sense that he was detained, but it doesn't have to make sense there, apparently.
Do you think that sometimes they say, token American? If we get an American, now we're telling the world we're playing hard and fast by the rules here.
It could well be.
It's 11:15. Okay, so he, though, has, thanks to Bill Richardson, somehow a release was negotiated, and now he is back in the United States. Hooray. I've been following your reporting on this on weekends for the last half year. It's been fascinating.
Thank you.
It's been troubling. It's been weird.
Yeah.
And so now his brother is on a phone line.
Brian.
Let's talk about that. Brian is the man that you would frequently talk
yes.
to on your show. American journalist Danny Fenster, who was freed after nearly 6 months in jail in military-ruled Myanmar, got back into the United States on Tuesday. Fenster was sentenced to 11 years of hard labor, but was handed over Monday to former U.S. diplomat Bill Richardson, who helped negotiate his release. Hundreds of journalists, media officials, publishers have been detained there since this overthrow of the government. Steve Dale is in our studio. Why? Because Steve is the one that's been telling Chicago about this story and has been frequently visiting with Danny Fenster's brother Brian weekends on the radio.
That's right.
It's been a fascinating journey. And frankly, I didn't have much hope for you guys because I thought these crazy people will lock somebody up and never care. Never care. And I thought, well, where is Dick Durbin or where's Tammy Duckworth or where's, you know, where is the president? Where's the Secretary of State? Somebody ought to get this guy out of there.
I kept asking that same question. We have diplomatic relations with this country, too. So why is there a holdup? However, the good news is that the story has a happy ending.
And the brother, Brian Fenster, who you've been talking to, is on a phone line. Brian, you're on WGN Radio again. How are you?
Hey, fellas. Thank you so much. We're doing great now.
Say hello to your friend Steve Dale.
Hey, Brian.
Steve. Well, hey, thank you. I got to say, we're so grateful at WGN to Steve. You had us on so much. And Danny, you know, we've been telling Danny we're slowly trickling information, and we're all just so grateful to you guys.
Yeah, well, I don't know what role we played except to at least impress upon people this is happening. And maybe there will be no hope if we don't at least keep it in our heads.
You know, what I thought at the very beginning, and Brian knows this, I mean, this was covered when this first happened by CNN, MSNBC, and all those other folks, including our radio station. Having said that, you know what happens with the news cycle? It becomes old news in, what, 3 minutes and 20 seconds, you know? And I thought, well, this shouldn't be old news in 3 minutes and 20 seconds, and that's why I kept it out there. My question to you is, how is your brother Danny doing now?
He's doing well. He's doing well. You know, I'm sure it's going to, whatever he has to deal with in this healing time, it's going to hit him sooner or later. But he's just enjoying being home. He's enjoying seeing people, hearing stories. And like I said, he's slowly kind of getting information on how this thing happened and what the effort has been behind it.
He was detained for about 6 months. Is that right, Brian?
That's right. The 24th of November, it would have been 6 months.
Why was he detained? Does he have an answer to that? Do you?
It's all still very confusing. You know, we learned in reports and in these hearings that there was some confusion about where he used to work, which is a publication that was banned by the military. But he left that publication 6 or 7 months before the coup even started, and then another 10 months since he left the publication by the time he was arrested. So it's all very suspect. You know, he had these three charges against him, the 505A, spreading false news, and then lawful association, and then an immigration charge. And thank goodness he got out when he did, because he was facing terrorism and sedition charges this week.
Now, in prison, the family thought that just by talking to him, the one or two opportunities you had to do that, that he was ill and had COVID, in fact. Did he? And I'm also curious how Bill Richardson got involved in this in the first place.
Yeah, we had, there were some good calls and there was a lot of bad calls. We don't know for sure if he had COVID. Symptoms would tell us that he did. I don't believe he was ever tested. But he was able to ride that out, thank goodness. I mean, it was really the emotional and psychological toll that was the main worry, especially as these hearings started picking up and these charges were at the forefront.
Yeah.
The Richardson Center, my goodness, we're incredibly grateful to them. They were able to bring him home. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. We're just full of gratitude for everybody involved.
Were you disappointed in the U.S. response? I don't know how these things are normally handled, but especially if it's a quote-unquote friendly country, you'd think that this wouldn't happen at all.
Yeah, unfortunately, it is not a friendly country. We're seeing what's happening there. There's a humanitarian crisis, and I guess you could say it's a civil war right now at this point over there. It was extremely frustrating that our government wasn't able to get this done sooner. Mm-hmm. For obvious reasons. He should have never been arrested. We wanted him home as soon as possible. But we understand the constraints of the mandates of everybody in our government. We can't legitimize the military as a forming government body. So that was a huge impediment to getting anything done.
We got about a minute and a half left, guys. You know, I think sometimes people hear stories like this And we were talking about this, Brian, Steve Dale and I, off the air, and people might say, well, what were you doing over there? Why do you put yourself in a situation where something like this could happen? I don't like that question. But
I think it's a fair question, and it's the one people ask online a lot, as I'm sure Brian knows. I mean, I received that after interviewing you every time I interviewed you, Brian. Yeah. So I'm curious as to what your response is. I think that's fair.
Absolutely. You know, you got to remember, too, when he moved there, it was a, quote, democracy, right? So the military took over a year and a half after he had already been there. So this was a somewhat new democracy, and the country was just starting to open up. Information was available to people, and that's pretty compelling to see how a society kind of functions in this new democracy. So he was very eager to get to this mystical kind of place, really, to tell stories of the people who are just starting to get a taste of open and free societies.
Yeah, that is an interesting story to tell, because while we always see democracy as sort of this promised land, it doesn't always go well. Capitalism doesn't even flourish necessarily. So it's maybe an attractive story to tell if you're a journalist, if you're a curious person. Well, I guess.
Yeah,
go ahead, Brian.
No, I was just going to interject really quickly. I don't know if you heard his press conference, but he made a good point that he's going to take the time to celebrate and be grateful, but he's thinking about the teachers, medical folks, other fellow journalists who are detained just for simply doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Now,
John
Williams is running out of time here. I very quickly want to know how your grandmother, who survived the Holocaust, is doing. Was she ever told what happened to him? Your family said, no, we're not going to tell her yet. But did you ever? Has he seen her?
You're not going to believe it. He saw her yesterday. She was flipping out. It was beautiful.
Grandma was flipping out.
Yeah. The last month, you're not going to believe this. The last month, she would constantly say to us, is he being held hostage? It was pretty surreal. So it was a beautiful reunion. She's over the moon. Danny's over the moon. And right now is just the time for him to reconnect with everybody and really just start to heal.
Danny Fenster is an American, a journalist who was in Myanmar and was inappropriately detained and now released, and his brother Brian has been a regular for the last half year or so with Steve Dale. I don't know what you guys are going to talk about in the future, but you still ought to have this guy as a guest, because they've been compelling conversations. Our best to your family, Brian, and I know Steve will be in touch.
I will. My best to your family as well.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
1128. Okay, that from our pet expert. Steve Dale. Thank you, Steve.